We're going to talk about worship this morning because that's what we've gathered here for. And in order for us to worship properly, we must examine the Scriptures together. And that's what we're going to seek to do in our time. In just the next few minutes, we're going to look at the Word of God and try to consider together what it is that the New Testament church did in order to worship God so that we might replicate those things, because that is the only pattern we have. There's all sorts of ideas being presented today as to how people might want to worship or praise God, but we have a pattern that's set. And according to 2 Timothy 1:13, we're supposed to hold fast the pattern of sound words. And so we're going to examine that together as soon as this thing restarts and you'll have some visuals. One thing I want you to do while we're here is go ahead and, waiting on this thing, go ahead and turn to Malachi chapter 1. That's where I was going to launch my sermon from, the last book of the Old Testament. We don't often go back there, but we're going to look at this particular one, Malachi chapter number 1. We have a situation where the people of God, of course, the Israelite nation, as they were, what remained of them at this particular point, of course, Malachi, the last of the prophets of the Old Testament, when he laid down his pen, there was 400 years of silence before John the Baptizer came in the wilderness. But we know that there was a situation going on. And it tells us that in verse number 7, you offered defiled food on my altar, but say, in what way have we defiled you? By saying, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it then to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably, says the Lord of hosts? Interesting that the people of God had taken upon themselves to offer worship to God, but it was unacceptable to God. It does continue to tell us, would you offer this to your ruler? Would you offer this to your governor? Would you offer this to someone else here? Of course, we wouldn't. We wouldn't offer a halfway measure, the broken. What did God ask for? God asked for the best of what they had, but they were trying to get away with less. And so we find a major issue that God had against His people in a situation where we need to find ourselves realizing that we are the people of God today. And we must be careful that we are offering sacrifices as we should today. Sacrifice of worship as we should. But we want to worship properly. When it comes to worshiping God, it's about God. I think that's the first and foremost point that we need to establish. We have come here to worship God. And I'll tell you something, that the church, the idea of church in America has changed completely to the point that it's about the people. And it's not about God. And we need to get our focus back on God. John chapter 4, verse number 24, Jesus told us that God is seeking those that would worship Him. But He says that God is a spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. And so we have a substance and a direction. We have to bring our own self to it. That's the spirit part. It's not the Holy Spirit right here in this passage. That's our spirit, our consciousness. We must bring that to the mix, but also we must have truth. So if we desire to worship God, we must do it the way that God desires for us to do it. Now, the example that we shared a few verses from that. Malachi chapter 1, verses 10 to 14, talks about the fact that the people of God were offering to God that which was unacceptable to Him. And so the people had forgotten their place. They had forgotten how important God was, and even the priests. Now think about that. The priests that God had chosen back there under the old covenant, who were lifted up by the people, who were given that special place, they even looked at the worship of God as a burden. They couldn't find anything special in it. They were offering worship that was not worthy of the Father whom we worship. But let's focus on today, because that's ancient history, and of course we would not want to repeat that, and that's why we need to know it. But knowing that there's a possibility of offering unacceptable worship to God, we have to challenge ourselves to make certain that we are offering that which is acceptable to Him. So let's take some time and consider these things. First of all, the proper acts of worship, the things that we do to worship God. Worship is an important part of our service to God. And there's a distinction. We are 24 hours a day, 7 days a week serving God. That's what we do, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And if they added another hour, we would do it 25 hours that day. You know, but the thing is, worship is a specific part of serving. It's not all together. Some people have got this concept that worship is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. No, that's not how the Scriptures picture it at all. The Greek word is that we have translated worship is proskuneo. Proskuneo means to bow down. Now imagine spending 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, bowed down. Well, you can't do that. You can't live your life that way. It's not how this works. But we can take time to do so. We come and bow before God in worship. If you have your mind prepared. Now, I don't know what you thought this morning. The only person I know what they thought this morning is me. And I know what other people are thinking when they tell me what they're thinking, but other than that, I don't know. But here's the thing. Did you, in your mind this morning, say, I've got to get up, cleaned up, dressed up, ready to go before God? I am going to go before the presence of God. I am going to go worship God. See, we think about that. Or do we say, I'm going to church? See, we are here to worship God. When we do the things of worship, when we bow down before Him, when we bring ourselves to His presence. And so that definition, it establishes a posture of heart. You know, literally, can we bow down before God? Sure. Sometimes, and I believe Greg, this morning, I didn't cue him in on this or anything. He says, let us bow. When he prayed for our opening prayer before Bible study, let us bow. Well, why? Because that's what we do before God. We come to worship. We worship when we give specific attention to the practices of worship. First of all, singing. Singing was part of the worship of the New Testament, that which the church showed us in pattern, that which we find within the Scriptures. Ephesians 5:19 and Colossians 3, verse number 17, tells us those very things, that are verse 16 and 17. We know that we have a pattern that tells us to sing. And we need to sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And that's what God requests of us. And when we look at those passages, the action, and I want you to see, now I just mentioned this, but I didn't turn to it. I want you to see some words right here in Ephesians chapter number 5 and verse number 19. Because they're very, very important words. I want you to take a look. Ephesians chapter number 5, verse number 19. It says in that place, speaking, now watch this now, to one another. I want you to underline those three words. If you put marks in your Bible, you don't have to do it if you don't do that, but if you put marks in your Bible, underline those three words, to one another. Because that's how this works. Now let's read it all. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. There is a part of the pattern. There is an approval from God, a directive. Authoritative words teach us to sing or tell us to sing. And we're supposed to do this action of this verse to one another. You sing and I sing. We sing. We all sing. You get that? Praising and petitioning the Father through prayer is part of it as well. Remembering the Lord's sacrifice is part of what we do. Offering back an appreciation to the Lord's work. You know, we often say, this is the Lord's money. Well, yeah, in a way. But what we're doing is offering what we have been blessed with to the work of the Lord. And that's what we do. So if we find this, we know that there's several things that we need to do in order to facilitate worship. Well, what about this part? What about lifting up the Word of God and preaching? That's part of worship as well. And this is what has always puzzled me, and I don't see this here. I've not seen this here. I don't believe I've seen this here at all. Maybe I'm wrong. Don't have to correct me. I'm just going to live in my delusion if I'm wrong. We used to live in northern Ohio. Jen and I and Haley was born there. And when we were there, we were about 20 minutes from Cedar Point. Cedar Point is an amusement park, and it's got like huge roller coasters, and it's got the most roller coasters of any amusement park in the world, as far as I know. And we used to have brethren come in to worship, and they would come in and they would, you know, it's like normal. Hey, how are you? Good to meet you. Glad. Where are you from? All that stuff. Sit down. And they would pray with us, and they would sing with us, and they'd take the Lord's Supper with us, and I'd get up in the pulpit and they would leave us. They would go to Cedar Point because they had done worshiped. Really, this is also part of worship. Coming before the throne of God and lifting up His Word and presenting it is part of our worship. So you have not worshiped unless you complete the picture. What are we dealing with? Singing, praying, remembering the Lord, offering back, and this part as well, preaching. So let's talk about what we can do with those things. Worship is important enough to demand some thoughtful preparation. Now, this morning was just ironic to me because I was right now going to say, I have to prepare ahead of time so that I don't look like that earlier. But anyway, all that mess with the computer. But here's the thing. There has to be time. And I don't know if I make this look easy or not. I don't know. I've been told that before, but whatever. Here's the thing. If I'm going to stand up here and talk for 25 minutes, it takes more than 25 minutes in the office to put this together. You know, it takes time. And so if I'm preparing myself for this part of worship, am I preparing myself to meet around the Lord's Supper table? Am I preparing myself to sing? Am I preparing myself to pray or be involved in the prayer? Am I preparing myself? Because the worship of God is worth it. We can take some time to grow in our worship. And that's what we need to do because we want to grow as Christians. I would like to think that I'm a stronger Christian today than even a year ago. And certainly a stronger Christian than I was 10 years ago. But we look forward to growing, and so we're going to grow our expression of worship as well. We're going to grow in all of the actions of worship. And so knowing that this is an act of love toward God, I'm going to reach toward that goal that Jesus gave us in Mark chapter 12, verse number 30, to love the Lord your God with all that you are. And so we're going to grow toward that end. We need to involve ourselves more completely in our worship and praise of God. And so let's talk about those things. First of all, let's consider each element of worship as we land them out earlier. More to our singing. What can I do to add more to our singing? Well, sing. You know, I know. First, I'm just going to say I know. Okay? There are people that are singers. I mean, they're singers. They can really sing. But here's the thing. God commanded it. Do you get that? God does not command the impossible. Someone said, I cannot sing. Well, maybe you're not on stage in a spotlight, but you have to be able to sing. And I know that sometimes with age, sometimes with illness or injury, we lose our voices. I get that. But if you have a voice, raise it up to God. Sing. When we have 150 people in here, we ought to be able to lift the ceiling tiles. Because I'll tell you what, if we were all having a conversation with one another right now, I couldn't hear someone standing back at the back door talking to me. When we sing, we have enough voices in this room to lift them up. And we need to be lifting them up. We need to be singing. If we're not singing, we're not worshiping. You know, think about that for a second. Am I worshiping or is someone else worshiping around me? I need to be worshiping. I need to sing. And I don't know at what level your singing is, but I know this about singing. Even people that can really sing, and I mean really sing, they still practice. Do you know that? They practice. You know why? Because singing is a skill. And you can improve a skill. And if you are the world's, and I hate to characterize it this way, if you're the world's worst singer, don't be the world's loudest singer. But sing, okay? Sing. And do the best you can. Because we are not here to impress the person next to us, but we are here to teach the person next to us Ephesians 5:19. Lift them up and lift up praises to God. We are here to worship God, and part of what God expects is singing. And if I'm going to worship God, I'm going to sing. So let's sing. Singing is praising God, glorifying Him. Lift your voice up to glorify God. Think about all of the imagery we see throughout the Scriptures of that very thing. Let's try to replicate that now. So, be careful not to allow yourself also to complain about the hymns that we don't enjoy. Oh, that hymn again. You know, we sing that, and it's so long, or so this, or so that, or so what. You know what? The hymns are not about me. The hymns are about worshiping God. And so my advice in that situation, sing for all of us that are singing. And song leaders, lead scriptural songs that we can all sing with confidence, thoughtfully prepared. You know, every once in a while someone will be sick or someone won't be able to be here and we have to scurry and catch some numbers and put them up. But you know, I think song leaders, if you're going to step up to that role, prepare yourself. Be thoughtful in your preparation and presentation, because we need to worship, and we need to do so with singing. Well, how about our praying? That's going to be pretty hard for all of us to pray at once. It's not how that works. But again, like all of the acts of worship, be involved. Involve yourself in prayers. Listen to what's being said. Now, I know that's going to scare some guys that pray, because we already have that situation where, and this is what happens, and it's no shame. I mean, I've been there several years ago. I grew out of it. But whenever I would lean into the microphone and then I would hear my voice come back, you know, like somebody can actually hear me pray. Yeah, well, that's what they're supposed to be able to do. They're supposed to be able to hear you pray. But people need to listen. We need to listen. We are being led in prayer for our needs. Have my needs before God been met? Now, I don't mean all of my individual needs, but I'm talking about the representation of a public prayer. Have my needs been met? Have you ever gone to the servant list? I guess that's what we call it, the list of the men who serve, the help during service, and found out who was going to pray the opening prayer and went to them and said, please pray for... Have you ever done that? Involve yourself in prayers. That's the way we can grow. Men who pray, pray well. I mean, pray well. Work at it. Determine to pray better, because we can all grow. Remember the two rules of public prayer, though. We're praying to God. We're not trying to fix what the preacher just made a mess of. You know? Don't try to rehash the sermon. That's my job. You know? But the thing is, pray to God. And remember that it's for everyone, not just for self. In a public prayer, it's not for self, it's for everyone. That's basic idea. What about our remembrance? Remembering the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ who died for us, and we have this wonderful celebration that is not lacking in detail whatsoever, but we need to take time to focus on it. We need to take time to meditate on it. When we gather around the Lord's table, it is the most significant event. Now, it's not the most important part of our worship. That's not what I'm trying to say. But the one significant event that we call to mind that changes everything for us is the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. We would not be Christians today without it. And Jesus asked us to remember. We need to reflect in these ways. And I hope these help you. Because this is what I received from my dad years and years and years ago. I'll try to take you to the scene. It was the kitchen in 1977. Dad was loading the dishwasher, a newfangled kind of technology. Really? All right. He was loading the dishwasher, and I said, Dad, what do you and Mom do when you close your eyes after you take the Lord's Supper? So I'm thinking he's going to say, pray or think or whatever. But no, if y'all have figured it out, my dad cannot help but preach a sermon. So here's what he shared with me. He said, son, you look inside your own heart to ensure that your focus is right in the moment that you partake. So you look inside. Then you look back to the cross, because at the cross is where all of this became real, when Jesus Christ shed His blood to pay the price for us. Then you look ahead to the prize of the upward call of God. And you think about that, because without this event that I am remembering in this moment, there would be no hope of heaven one day. And then you look up to glorify God and our Savior Jesus Christ. There's lots to do when we bow our heads after we have partaken of the Lord's Supper. And we do so in order to glorify God, but to center our minds in what we're accomplishing. We can grow in our presence before God when it comes to the remembrance of Jesus Christ. What about our offering? Now, I know we could just give more. You know, one of the things about that, and maybe I've shared this with you before, this concept, this idea, it's hard for me to measure your attention. Now, I can figure out whether I've got it or not, but it's hard for me to measure your attention. It's hard for me to measure your singing. It's hard for me to measure the praying that's going on. It's hard for me to measure all of that. But the one thing about the offering is that we put numbers on the stuff that we hand in. You know what numbers are? Numbers are measurements. We all get that. So you're measuring back to the Lord that which you've been blessed with. You're measuring it back. How do you want to be blessed by God? I want you to challenge yourself with that. And I'm not trying to stir up more giving. That's not the point. We're trying to grow in our worship. If God measured to you as you measure to Him, how would you fare? That's the only challenge. Because we need to appreciate how much He has given us. We need to really grasp the teaching and promise of 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And we haven't turned to many passages because I really shortchanged you on your time with that earlier computer fiasco, but I want you to see this one. I want you to see this because so often when we talk about giving, it's like, well, just give. You know, give, give, give. Well, let's think about what we have as a promise that's associated with it. 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. Verse number 6 says these words, "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, but he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart." I can't tell you how much. Do you see that? I can't tell you how much. But you need to decide. You need to purpose in your heart. It says, "Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." I'm glad to receive God's blessings. I know you are too. We should be glad to share God's blessings. That's what he's talking about. It does continue on. It says, verse number 8, watch this now. Here's the promise. "God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance for every good work." If you are determined to be a giver, God will make sure that you have enough to give. Do you get that? I don't know any other way to read that verse than to realize that God will bless us if we take on what He has shown us, and that is being a giver. It is written, "He has dispersed abroad, He has given to the poor, His righteousness endures forever. Now He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness." God is able to bless us, and He will bless us when we give. And we need to give because He has blessed us. I know that's circular reasoning, but that's what is presented to us, and that's the way we should think about it. If you determine to give and give well, God is able to make all grace abound toward you. So look what God has done for you. Look at what God has done for you and express your appreciation to Him and what He has provided. What about the time of preaching? Well, we know we're supposed to have preaching. Acts 2:42, Acts 20, verse 7, 2 Timothy 4, 1 to 5. Those passages all talk about preaching. Well, purposely focus. Purposely focus. There's an opportunity for us not only to worship God, but also to learn. And so if there's proper preparation, there will be proper learning. The more we know about the Bible, the more life improvement we're going to see, because this is a situation where we grow and we see it in every day, not just when we worship. But those who preach, whether it's me or anyone else, present God's Word, first of all. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 2, preach the Word. That's the command. Verse number 1 always scares me. Every time I read 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 1, it scares me because it tells me this very thing. Because I have chosen to become a preacher of God's Word, that I have that responsibility. And it tells me in verse number 1 that whether I'm alive or whether I'm dead, when Christ comes, He will find me and He will judge me. He will find me and He will judge me for the responsibility of preaching His Word. So if you're preaching, preach the Word to real people. Real people that live in a real world. Preach with purpose. Preach with passion. Preach with patience. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. The members will be engaged and interested. And this is what I've come to learn. If you are prepared and if you're confident. Again, the irony of earlier in this lesson with the computer. But nonetheless, let's talk about this and let's get to our last point. The Israelites, according to Malachi chapter number 1, no longer loved to worship God. Oh, do we have to go to the temple again? Oh, do we have to offer again? See, they had lost their focus. They'd lost their understanding of true worship. We need to maintain our focus on what's being accomplished by our worship. From the moment that we are blessed with waking up on a Lord's Day morning, today I will worship God. Today I will gather with my brethren to go and present ourselves before God. What an opportunity we have to be in the audience of God. Today we have set out to accomplish a goal at the request of God. John chapter number 4, verse 23 and 24, God is seeking such to worship Him. We must worship Him as He desires. In worship, we have an opportunity to approach the Almighty God, whom we have the privilege of calling our Father. I don't know how someone can think about that concept and not be moved by it. There's all sorts of powerful people in this world. You know that? Powerful people in this world. And very seldomly will they just go ahead and adopt you. You know? They're not just going to go ahead and say, hey, just call me Dad. Let me be your father from now on and you'll be my son. You'll be my daughter. I'll just take care of you. See, that doesn't happen a lot in this life, but the Almighty Father of Heaven said, let me be your father, and you can be my child. And we have an opportunity to come before Him in that way. 1 John chapter 3, verse number 1 says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God. That's whom we worship. We express our hearts to Him in praise. We praise Him for His glory. Revelation chapter 4, verse number 8. We praise Him for the perfect gift of salvation. Romans chapter 5, verses 5 through 10. And we praise Him for our glorious Savior, His Son, Jesus the Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, 20 to 22. We praise God for our hope. Because we have this moment in time. What are we here for? A couple hours on Sunday morning, an hour or so Sunday evening. We gather and we worship God for a few minutes on Wednesday and we study the Bible together on Wednesday. And what all this is for is to set our hope for being with Him, to worship Him forever. Forever. We have an opportunity to express that now in the hope of forever in heaven one day. John chapter 14, verses 1 to 6. God rejected the worship in Malachi's day. It was the right people, and they were following the right things to do, but they had the wrong attitude in doing them. If we fail to embrace the true focus of worship, this could happen to us. Yes, we prayed. Yes, we sang. Yes, we met around the Lord's table. Yes, there was some kind of preaching going on. But is that how we worship God? Or do we bring our hearts before Him? We have to seek God as Jesus instructed in Mark chapter 12, verse number 30. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. I don't think there's anything else left. That's everything you are coming before God in worship. God desires our complete focus. and involvement in worship. And we can achieve what God expects. You know, God desires true worshipers. But what are true worshipers? True worshipers are ones who conduct their whole life according to God's revealed will. So have you given your whole life to obedience to God? Are you a true Christian who truly worships God? There's an opportunity now for you to look at your life. Look at your life. It's hard to do. Every once in a while we've got to stop and we've got to do that. We've got to inspect. We've got to take a look. Where are you before God right now? If there's changes that are necessary in your life, now is the time. We offer this opportunity. At the end of worship, when those that have faithfully gathered, who've lifted their hearts before God, have set an example for us that we want to be just like that, then this morning you need to become a child of God. And if you are a Christian and coming before God, you feel that shame of sin in your life, you can fix that too by repentance, praying to God for forgiveness. But as one who needs to become a Christian, there's some steps for you to follow, and we want to share those with you. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, our Lord and Savior, died for you too. Not just for everyone else, He died for you too, so that today you could give yourself to Him. By confessing Him as the Son of God, repenting of the sins in your life, have your sins washed away in the water of baptism, rise and walk in the newness of life, and join us on the road home. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to help one another. We're going to encourage one another. We're going to worship with one another before the throne of God. This morning, if you're not yet a Christian, become one. If you are a child of God, need to make correction, make correction. If you need our help with it, let us help you as we stand and sing.